May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, the end of the gospel from Mark 9. We pray as we consider the word of God. We pray, Lord, you teach us that we are blessed when we hear your word, when we keep it in our living. So, Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit and bless us with your word today. Give us faith and repentance and understanding. Give us the power to keep your word in our living. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, to begin this morning, you need to open your mouth wide. Tilt your head back. Get your mouth open really, really wide, because God wants to pour something into you that you desperately need. I desperately need this in us. What is it? It's not coffee. It's not Starbucks cappuccino. It's not a donut. It's not a cookie, even if you might be hungry. What do we all need poured in us? Desperate. Salt. So open wide, we're going to pour a whole bunch of salt into your mouth. How's that sound? A big mouthful, stomach full of salt. Isn't that what the gospel says? It's an interesting gospel lesson. Quite a terrifying gospel lesson. At the end of it, Jesus says, salt is good. And then have salt in yourselves. So open wide, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. What in the world is he talking about? What is this salt that is good that we are to have in us? Well, I suggest today the salt that we all desperately need is Jesus himself. As is often the case in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus is talking about himself. He is what we need. Jesus, after all, he's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the vine. He's the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the life. He's our everything, the Alpha, the Omega, and he is the salt that we need in us. And how desperately we need him, because this gospel lesson is downright terrifying. 3 or 4 times he mentions hell. Woe to you if you lead a little one into sin. You have a millstone tied around your neck. That's pretty graphic and vivid. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cut your feet off, gouge your eyes out. Hell is where the fire is unquenchable and the worm never dies. These graphic, horrible descriptions of hell and sin. And so after reading this gospel, we're led to ask, who can save me? Who can take the millstone from me? Because I deserve a millstone. I lead little ones into sin. Maybe not always intentionally, but I do it. Who can save me from cutting off my hands? My hands sin all the time. Who can save me from gouging out my eyes and cutting off my feet? Who can save me from the fires of hell? Jesus. I need something outside of me to save me, and that is Jesus, who is the salt. Actually, the Greeks back in that day had a very, very high regard for salt. They considered salt divine, like a gift of the gods. It was divine, made from the sun and the sea. It was pure white. It was like a godly gift. And so it's not a stretch that Jesus here in that kind of world will say, salt, you got to have salt, something divine, holy. And that's Jesus himself. By calling himself salt here, he is teaching us 2 things about himself. And 2 things about us, because as he is in us, the salt is in us, and we too, as we know, are to be the salt of the earth. First of all, as we all know, salt has great, great influence. Salt can make a great, great impact upon whatever it lands upon in 2 ways. First of all, salt preserves things, as we know. Back in Bible days, they didn't have freezers and refrigerators to preserve food, so they put salt on it, which we still do today. You salt meat, it preserves it. Actually, in the Old Testament, when 2 people made a covenant, a contract, they would seal the covenant with salt, meaning that each person would take a little bit of salt and eat a little bit of salt, saying, as I make this contract, may I preserve it, may I keep it, May it last. May it not rot and decay like a bad piece of meat that doesn't have salt on it. May I keep this covenant. And so when Christ is talking about salt here himself, he wants us to think of how God's made a covenant with us. God's contract with us is that he forgives us and forgives us and forgives us and does what? Forgives us and does what, First Lutheran? Forgives us and again forgives us and saves us and forgives us. That's the contract because of Christ. Christ is the salt that preserves that contract. It's as if God the Father ever wanted to stop forgiving us, which he would never want to do anyway, but if God the Father wanted to cancel the contract and just damn us all, Christ is a salt saying, no, you won't. I shed my blood. I had my hands cut into, my feet cut into, a spear in my side. I suffered hell. I had the millstone around my neck. I suffered hell. I'm the salt, so preserve the covenant, Father. Keep the covenant. Keep forgiving them. And of course, the Father does. Christ preserves the covenant for us. And as he dwells in us, he preserves us in the faith. You have faith. Praise be to God. How do you keep the faith? In a troubled world where we sin all the time and there's trials and sickness and disease, look at our prayer list. How do you keep the faith? Christ does it. He's the salt that preserves our faith by his word, his sacrament. He keeps us in the faith. He ever forgives us. He ever strengthens us. And Christ will preserve our bodies from decay and rotten hell. Even more than that, he will reverse the process. He is such a great, powerful salt. Not only will he preserve us from death and hell, he'll actually reverse the process so we have a brand new body in heaven. It's kind of like if you were grilling a steak today and put salt on it, what would you think if a cow comes to life? What? I get a whole cow by salting my steak? It's a reversal of the process. Something dead now is alive because of salt. And that's Christ. He's the salt that makes us alive, immortal in heaven, the resurrection of our bodies, all that implied in him being salt. And as we have Christ, as he dwells in us, lives in us, then we too become the salt of the earth. We are only the salt of the earth because we have salt, and he's the salt. We then are to preserve the world from decay and rot. If you're like me, all we Christians seem to do these days is sit around and complain about the world. It's so evil out there. It's so bad out there. So much murder and hatred and war. All these terrible evils. Wow, this pathetic, sick world. We'll do something about it, Christian. As I know, salt has no purpose when it sits in the salt shaker. It has no purpose unless it's poured out and hits the meat and lands on the meat or whatever you're salting. We too often as Christians sit in a salt shaker. We huddle together. Oh, we're salt. Look at how pure we are. And we have no use in the world. Go out into the world and be salt. Go out and spread goodness and spread love. Do something about your evil world. Spread the love of God and the mercy of God in all that you say and do. There's a lot of greed out there, I agree. So you be a gracious, giving person. Sprinkle the world with salt. There's cursing and swearing in high school. Kids and adults curse and swear all over the place. You be salt. Watch your speech. Praise God with your mouth. Compliment others. Be salt in the workplace around the water cooler. There's hatred and murder and revenge all over the place. People say they hate each other. They want to get back at each other. So you be salt. Forgive. And forgive 70 times, 7 times. And have mercy on your neighbor who hurts you. That's being salt, helping to preserve this world with goodness and love. And then another way that salt has influence, besides preserving things, is flavor. I mean, what would popcorn be without salt? Come on. You like it, Pat? What would a pretzel be at a football game without all that salt on it? Come on. At least a little bit of salt. What would a steak today that you buy for the pastor for his birthday, how would that taste if I didn't put salt on it? Come on. Salt flavors things. In the Old Testament, whenever they would, not always, but often when they would make a sacrifice and give a sacrifice to God, they would salt the sacrifice. Did you know that? They would add salt, sprinkle salt on the sacrifice, if you will, to add flavor for God. And the flavor was joy. I give this with joy, God. That's the flavor I want you to taste with this sacrifice. It was flavoring it with hope, with a pure heart. I give it with a pure motive, a pure heart. I don't give this sacrifice because I have to. I don't do it to get glory. I don't do it out of guilt. I give this joyfully, willingly, with a pure heart. That's the flavor I want you to taste as you have accept the sacrifice of God. And so Christ flavors our lives. I mean, Christianity is not boring. It's not bland. It's great, great joy. That's the flavor he gives us. It's peace. It's hope. It's zeal to live my life for him. It's love. These are the flavors he pours out upon us, doesn't he? And so as he flavors us, may we be flavor in the world. You know, don't be a boring, bland person. Who wants to be a Christian when they look at you and you're so boring and bland? Yeah, I went to church today. It's kind of boring, but I'm a Christian. Praise be to Jesus. I mean, what kind of witness? Who wants to be a Christian when they see that in you? I'm not talking about fake emotions, but I'm talking about flavoring the world like salt. How many of you like chocolate? Ah, yeah, chocolate. And a lot of you already give me chocolate. Praise be to God. Chocolate. Thank Nathan Wade for these great cookies he made. Wow. And all the other confirmation students that I've had, cookies, guys. Nathan is a good example for you guys. Wow. Here's a better flavor than chocolate. Cheerfulness in school and work tomorrow. Everybody else is grumpy and crabby on a Monday. You be cheerful. Add flavor. Why are you so cheerful? Speak of Jesus then. Who likes caramel? Ah, caramel, yes. Caramel and chocolate together. Here's a better flavor. How about compassion? We need people that have compassion. Flavor your world with a compassionate heart towards everybody. And you'll draw them to the Jesus who is so compassionate. Who likes grapes? Oh, I love a good grape. It just bursts. Doesn't it just burst in your mouth, Harriet? Ah, you might just smile, a good grape. Here's a better taste, a better flavor, grace. Be graceful, be generous, be giving. Even if people don't deserve it, give and give some more. Be known as a giving person. That's how we flavor the world. We draw them to God. They see our good works and they glorify God by how we live our lives. This is being a witness, you see. Who likes mocha? Ah, mocha, yes. That mocha coffee. A better flavor is mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. So salt is good. Christ is the salt. He preserves, he flavors, and as he lives in us, we help to preserve. We flavor the world. Influence. And then secondly, besides being influential, salt looks quite insignificant. A grain of salt is very, very little. You pour salt on something, you hardly see it. It kind of disappears. It has great influence, but in a hidden way. I mean, who puts salt on a steak and says, wow, look at the salt. That salt's impressive. That salt is beautiful. The salt just works. So salt is a symbol of humility, of lowliness, of working in a very hidden way where the spotlight's not on you. And there are many, many adjectives that we may use for Jesus. He's loving, gracious, merciful. Another one right off the bat is humble. He has great influence as that grain of salt, but he works in a very hidden, humble way. He's dressed in an insignificant way, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, also insignificant. He's raised in Nazareth, it's also insignificant. He's a carpenter's son, insignificant, hidden there in Nazareth with Joseph and Mary. He has insignificant friends, fishermen, tax collectors, also insignificant. He's a nobody. And the most insignificant thing he does, it seems, is to hang on a cross. Talk about insignificance. Here's a criminal dying 6 hours on a cross, blood and guts and gore. It's also insignificant. Get it out of here. I want to look at that. Awful. All looks so pathetic and insignificant. And yet there he is saving the entire world. And our Lord still, as salt, comes in very lowly ways. The bread and wine today, little kernels of grain here.
insignificant, we think. A little water he comes in, seemingly insignificant. A word from a minister, I forgive you from a minister, all seemingly quite insignificant compared to all the massive stuff happening in the world. It's all little grains of salt, and yet they're powerful to save us and to save the whole world from hell. That is Jesus. You know, I heard there's a shortage of something, a global shortage of something. You know what it is? This is going to terrify the men. I read, this is true, there's a global shortage soon of bacon. What are we going to do without bacon? Come on. How can I go get my $2 for $3 bacon, egg, and cheese now at McDonald's? It's just going to be egg and cheese, right? And what's a BLT now? An LT? Is that what it is? And bacon bits are now just bits? Ah, bacon. It's kind of like salt. Rough looking, ugly looking, kind of little, and yet, I think there's even bacon milkshakes now. People like bacon so much. There may be a shortage of bacon. Who really cares? Praise be to God, there's no shortage of salt. There's plenty of salt in Jesus. Plenty of His goodness, His mercy, His love that overflows to us. We get it in our mouths today. We're not going to literally give you a mouthful of salt, but you do open your mouth here and you get Jesus, the salt of the earth, His body, His blood for forgiveness. You know what the cost of the political dinner was that Paul Ryan had this week? What cost was it for lunch? Who went? Pat, you go? $1,000 a plate, I read. Even more than that? Yeah. And they raised $1 million. I know it's politics and God's will be done. Pray. Is this $1,000 a plate here? Come give your $1,000, First Lutheran, to get this. It is costly. It cost Jesus His very life. It's worth a whole lot more than $1,000. And yet here it's free to eat with your Lord, to be poured into your mouth, into your heart with salt. Salt is good. Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with each other. And go, First Lutheran, and live as the salt of the earth. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with